Thank you for joining us for the segment of Notable People with your host, Andrea Schwartz, where we introduce you to some notable people making significant contributions toward furthering the kingdom of Christ.
On this podcast, we have brought many notable people to your attention, many of whom are active in pro-life work. Today's guest is James Lansbury, the director of the Morning Center Hospital and Mobile Care Unit Project. Founded in 2011, this project of Samaritan Ministries International seeks to return charitable maternity care to a private, patient-centered model. Thank you for joining me today, James.
Well, thanks, Andrew. It's great to be here with you.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and how you became involved with what you call the next step in the pro-life movement.
Well, I've been a Christian for a long time. When my wife and I got married, we were looking around for healthcare options. And one of the things that was important to us was to find something that was consistent with our pro-life convictions. And through some searching, we found out about a program called Samaritan Ministries, which is where I'm employed here in Peoria, Illinois at this point. We joined Samaritan Ministries as our healthcare option because we wanted our funds to go to people who need it and not to go build big buildings and not to help pay for abortions. And that's one of the reasons why we got into this. And Samaritan later on allowed me an opportunity to serve on the board. And at that point, then I was offered a job up here in Illinois. And so we've been here for almost 13 years now. And over the last 3 to 4 years, I've gotten some opportunities to speak around the country about Christian charity, which is a passion of ours. We continue to grow up around the faith, just deciding that really there needs to be more Christ-centered charity out there, particularly if we can take away more and more excuses for abortion by providing high-quality care for women, that we can find a better opportunity for the gospel and actually put a better face on the pro-life movement, which in my mind ought to be thought of as more of a social movement than of a political movement. And so that's where the nascent seeds of the Morning Center Project are, where we're trying to offer charitable care to women who are in need and underserved in urban areas in a way that centers around the gospel.
Now, what has influenced you, or who are the people who have influenced you the most when it comes to your views on charity?
Oh, the two main influences would certainly be a man named George Grant, who's a pastor in Franklin, Tennessee. He's written several books on Christian charity and one on the legacy of Planned Parenthood. He's been a great writer and thinker in this. And the other is a man named Hilton Terrell, who's now deceased. He's a formerly Christian physician who is the head of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, who wrote about healthcare economics. And as I started to understand how healthcare economics work, you start to understand why the current charitable models aren't working. A third name I guess I would want to give a good amount of credit to as well is Marvin Alasky, who in his book Crisis of American Compassion had a really good, well-rounded view of why government-funded charity doesn't ever solve the problem it's aimed at funding.
So if the Morning Center Project is not going to rely on government funds, how do you intend to fund it and then sustain it on an ongoing basis?
Well, funding and sustaining will be based on the generosity of our donors. We're going to be looking for both foundations and regular donors on a nationwide basis. We think that there will be enough Christians who are passionate about life, passionate about helping women, that we're going to be able to raise plenty of funds to be able to provide the kind of quality ministry that we're looking for here. And we think that the other thing, advantage that we bring to the table in this is because we're not going to be suffering through the billing cycles of Medicaid and insurance companies, that we'll have much less overhead than what people are traditionally used to in the healthcare field, because our providers will be just taking care of patients. They're not going to be trying to figure out how you bill for this. They're going to be just figuring out how you take care of the patient in the best way possible.
Will the Morning Center be staffed by volunteers or paid doctors and nurses?
Our medical professionals, it is our desire to have them be full-time paid medical missionaries. We want them to be able to give their first fruits of the day to this ministry and not have to survive on volunteers who are working 40 hours a week someone else and then trying to give a little bit what's left to our charity. So we will be providing for full-time doctors and nurses. We will have plenty of volunteer labor involved in this at various places, but our goal will be for our medical professionals in particular to be full-time paid medical missionaries.
I've recently interviewed a doctor from Georgia who is really operating that model with his Mercy Med of Columbus, Georgia, that returning the church to what the church was supposed to be doing, and that's in the arena of health, education, and welfare. So how will you determine whether somebody qualifies for services at the Morning Center?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to ascertain whether or not the woman is pregnant. And that's also the last thing we'll do. What we're doing is trying to reach out with the gospel to women who are in need. And so there will be, you know, no offensive tests that people have to go through to figure out how much money they make or fill out, you know, pages and pages of forms, turn in their forms from the government, you know, their tax forms from last year, their 1040s. We just want to help women wherever possible. And so you come to us and you're pregnant and we're going to help you. Because whether or not you have money or not, we know that you need Jesus Christ.
You're going to take it. This is a client of the Morning Center because she walked in the door.
That's correct. Because we have the ability to serve you, that you're willing to come and talk to us, knowing that in addition to high-quality medical care, you're going to hear about Jesus Christ. That you know that at the front end, if you're willing to continue to work with us, we want to give you all the love that we can, both in the concrete form in medical care, but also, more importantly, in the form of the truth of Jesus Christ in the way we treat you and in what we say to you.
Okay, so I know a lot of women who are very dissatisfied with the kind of maternity care that takes place in the hospital. Very many interventions, they feel that they don't have options. Are you saying that the Morning Center will be available for people who can pay for the services if they wish to use them from the Morning Center?
Well, they certainly will be. If these women are Christians, we hope that they'll become some of our most avid donors over the span of their life. And we're hopeful that this ministry actually will produce even more Christians by the evangelism that's going to be going on in the context of the services. But because we don't want to do testing for this, that, or the other thing before we decide on who our client base is, we want to help anyone who comes and needs it. That's exactly where we're going to be headed. And so women of means who come in, they're first and foremost, they're going to have to travel to an area that's typically filled with the poor, because that's where our service is going to be provided. And then second, they're going to have to be willing to ask for them in that context. But some of those women, long-term, I believe, will be some of our greatest fans and our biggest donors.
Now, are you anticipating that churches and pregnancy centers will be referring people to you, or you're going to rely on your own access to the community and your own advertising and letting people know you're there?
No, most of our patients will come from referrals from local ministries that are already in the communities. We want to partner alongside of them. One of the first things we've done in Memphis and in Charlotte and in Indianapolis is to go in and talk to the crisis pregnancy centers, to the local churches that are involved in the urban ministry, other nonprofits that are during urban Christ Center ministry, to talk to them about how we can design this ministry the best fit what the needs of the actual community are, and to know for sure that we're not trying to replace anything that they're doing. We want to just come in and fill what we see as a gap in medical care, and we're counting on their efforts to be able to work alongside of us to be able to have an effective ministry.
So what it sounds like to me you're saying is the common criticism of pro-lifers is, sure, you want the woman not to have an abortion, but then who's there to help her when she needs it? This is one answer to that question.
That's correct. And we're going to be able to help her with our desire is to provide the same quality of care that the richest woman would be able to receive with all the money she had, that we want to provide that same level of quality in the care that we give to the poorest woman who comes to see us. Often in the Medicaid system, women can be treated like second-class citizens. And instead of that, we're going to treat them like princesses.
What a wonderful concept. Every woman, especially when she's delivering a baby, is in a very vulnerable state. And to have loving, caring people around her is important, whether she's very wealthy or very poor.
Well, certainly, and part of the pro-life movement needs to be reminding people over and over again about what a great gift this child is, that this child who's created in the image of God is a blessing, a gift. And to have a medical care system, a maternity care system that is consciously aware of and emphasizing that special gift that this child is, that special life that this child is, will actually change the way people think about pregnancy in general. one of the reasons why I think abortion is being able to remain in our country so long is because through the public policy and public relations of the abortion movement, they've managed to dehumanize the child who's in the womb and made the child become a piece of tissue or part of his mother's body. And by reemphasizing the gift that the child is all the way through the pregnancy and into the childbirth, and then whether the mother chooses to parent or place the child, getting that child the help that he or she needs after he's born, that's the kind of ministry that we want to have. And I think that's the way that we're going to find Roe v. Wade going away and then abortion being mitigated in our country, is by providing the kind of charitable care in a Christ-centered environment in places that some of us may not be comfortable, but where we have to send missionaries right here in our backyard.
And I love the concept of medical missionary work, because there are vast areas of every city, every major city, that have people that need to be reached for Christ, that to just be focusing missions on some place across an ocean seems to be a very, very nearsighted view.
Well, I think part of it is that because we think of America, and maybe rightly so, as a nation with Christian foundation, we forget that there's a large part of our nation that is unchurched. I think we've stepped far away from the religious heritage that the founding fathers had, you know, from 1600 in Jamestown to where we're at today. You know, I think we're a very far distance from that belief in Christ being a foundation of the way we live our lives as a nation. And I think the way to combat that is just through remembering to take the gospel back. And I think the church, for my trials around the country, as we've been evaluating cities for where we should put our pilot morning center facilities, I think the church is starting to be reignited toward urban missions. They're starting to understand that urban missions, just like with foreign missions, actually involve us going and living amongst those that we're ministering to, that you can't phone in urban missions from the suburbs, that some of us have to actually sacrifice and move into the inner city to minister there. Not everyone. And it's just like not all of us are called to Pakistan. Not all of us are called to live in the inner city. But we need to be thinking about urban missions in that same context of going and living and serving among those who we're ministering to.
Now, assuming that the bulk of your clientele will be poor women who are possibly unmarried, possibly have other children, this isn't their first pregnancy, are you going to have other resources or counselors available to direct people in terms of adoption, housing, place to have a church home, things like that?
Well, that's exactly why our partnership with the local church is going to be so important. And we really want to have local churches on board. And the mobile care units will actually allow us to partner with local churches in the neighborhood in a way that I find to be really exciting, that we're going to be able to park our mobile care units outside of a local church. The local church will have the ability to then minister to the women with child care during the visits, with helping with meals, with, you know, specialized, you know, professional photography for the woman during her pregnancy, the kind of lavish care that anything we can dream up to show the love of Christ for this woman, is that's our opportunity there. And I think that will be, you know, a large part of what the local church will be doing in this process as we partner alongside of them by providing a catalyst for this through the medical mission field.
When I first read about the mobile care unit, you know, you sort of teased us all that we were going to hear about where the first hospital would be, and then you delayed that a week and you had us hear about the mobile unit. I pictured when I was growing up, there used to be the bookmobile. The library would come and you would know a certain time each week the bookmobile would come and you could go, and there weren't obviously as many books as you could get at a public library. Is this mobile unit going to be more like a traveling hospital or a mobile doctor's office?
It's going to be more like a mobile doctor's office, but our ability to give prenatal care in the neighborhood will accomplish a couple of things. First of all, we're going to not sacrifice quality at all. You can take everything you need for a high-quality prenatal visit up to and including an ultrasound machine, and you can put it in the back of a minivan and then set up in an empty room in any building in the country. It's very simple to do. And right now, one of the biggest barriers to women in the inner city receiving prenatal care is not the unavailability of doctors. It's the lack of ability for the woman to get off work and get transported to a place where the doctors are. Doctors don't live in the neighborhoods that most poor women live in. And then to try to take off in this economy, take time off work when you're not even sure you want your boss to know you're pregnant. And we're trying to make sure that we raise the convenience level so that we can come at that sense of, well, I don't really feel sick. You know, my baby's probably fine. So thousands of women then just show up at the hospital when it's time to deliver, never having seen a doctor. And so we want to try and combat that influence by bringing the prenatal care somewhere where they can walk from their house and at a time in the evenings, on Saturdays, when it's going to be convenient for them without having to take time off work. And that's really how we're going to be able to reach out in a new and exciting way so that women will have easier access to care geographically and chronologically.
So it might be along the lines like my old bookmobile analogy that in this particular neighborhood, it's advertised that on Friday afternoon and Saturday afternoon, the mobile care unit will be there.
Well, and some of them will be, much of it will be actually appointment driven, just like when you're going to a doctor at his doctor's office. But we'll take our appointment windows, and instead of being 8 to 4 at an address somewhere downtown that's hard to get to, it'll be from 3 to 7 somewhere within walking distance of your house on Thursdays, and then we'll do that in different neighborhoods around the city. So it'll be very similar to the bookmobile, except a lot of it will be appointment-driven. Though in the modern age, the bookmobile actually can function through computer databases. You can find even more books on the bookmobile than you used to be able to because we now have the technology to be able to reserve that book. And I think that we're going to be able to see some of that technology pay off in favor of our patients as well. But we'll certainly see new patients in that same context. Our goal will be to set women up on a normal schedule, just like you would be if you had insurance and you went to your OB. You'd go once a month for the first, 5 months of the pregnancy, and then every other week, and then once a week for the last few weeks to try to make sure that that care is kept up and that the doctor's on board with exactly how the pregnancy is progressing. Do that through appointments, but it'll be appointments at these mobile units, somewhere they can walk to, somewhere at a convenient time for them to be able to get to it without taking time off work.
Okay, now the obvious question is pregnancy lasts for only a certain amount of time, then the time comes for delivery. Eventually you'll have centers where people will go to. In the meantime, with these mobile units, carrying on, will you create relationships with hospitals in the area so that these women can deliver?
Yes, our desire is to have a strong relationship with local pro-life hospitals so that we can contract with them for women to come in for their labor and delivery, that we'll provide the physician who's been taking care of them the entire pregnancy, and then that we'll pay them a fair price for the woman's labor and delivery unless the hospital decides to give us a better price than that of charity. But our desire will be actually to pay them, compensate them for the care at a reasonable price, maybe twice what Medicaid pays, so that they can get that care there in a facility. And having that kind of partnership with a local hospital will actually work well for both of us. The pro-life hospital will get a little more business out of it, that they'll get some credit for this as well, and it will be able to have a facility that we can deliver in without quite as much upfront cash. The original vision was to provide through brick-and-mortar hospitals, and we still, in some areas, may need to do this, especially as the abortion rate comes down. But right now, our studies have told us that many areas have underutilized maternity wards, and so that we will be able to provide the kind of care we want in other facilities by partnering with pro-life hospitals in most regions.
Now, I know that there were many cities on the short list, or at least some cities on the short list, for the honor of being the first morning center location. What was it about Memphis that moved it to the top of the list?
Well, Memphis came to the top of the list for two reasons. The first is the great need that there is in Memphis. Of cities over 500,000 people, Memphis has the highest infant mortality rate, the highest teen pregnancy rate, one of the highest abortion rates, and the highest poverty rate. All the lists that you don't want your city to be at the top of, they were near the top of. And so they're really struggling with that, and they're trying to make great efforts to change that. And the second reason we're going to Memphis is because of the constant and consistent efforts of the church to be working together in Memphis, not just as individual churches trying to work to help with poverty, but all churches in the area seem to be having a nice concerted effort toward attacking poverty and helping women in this case. And so that we're stepping into an environment where there's a lot of symbiotic relations already going on in local ministry, which is what we want to be a part of. We want to be a part of bringing unity in ministry. We don't want to step on anyone's toes or replace what's already working. We want to bring one more piece of the puzzle to the pro-life picture in the community. And Memphis, we have every reason to believe that Memphis is going to be a great place for us to work alongside of others who have been laboring there for years for the gospel, and to bring just one more missing piece to that puzzle.
Because sometimes the rap that Christians get is that they can't get along with each other because somebody will interject doctrinal differences. And of course, doctrine does affect how people are oriented to things. How do you plan to override some of those inevitable problems?
Well, we want to focus around the gospel, the pure and simple gospel. And certainly there are doctrinal differences on secondary and tertiary matters that are going to exist there. But we're trying to keep our ministry broad and gospel-focused. Our goal is to work with any Christian church that proclaims the gospel alongside of them and to help feed new members into their church through our ministry. And I think because we're not going to play favorites, I think it'll be easier for them to see us working alongside of them. And I think it's going to be a good relationship. I think the church in Memphis and Charlotte and Indianapolis as well are showing the maturity of being able to look past some of those secondary differences while we focus on helping women in the inner city. It's not to say they're setting aside doctrine. They're just able to work alongside of each other on the things they agree about instead of focusing on where we disagree.
You mentioned those other cities. That's where your mobile care units will be?
That's correct. We'll have mobile care units in 15 months, Lord willing, up in Memphis and Charlotte, North Carolina, and Indianapolis, Indiana.
In the meantime, will there be a mobile unit operational right away so that a lot of the kinks of your procedures can be worked out?
No, these will be the first three that we'll be using to work those kinks out. Right now, we're stage one here where we're working out the legal kinks for making sure that we don't step into the wrong puddle by making some mistake that will cause a government agency to shut us down for the wrong reasons. We want to make sure we cross our T's and dot our I's. We want to make sure that we're operating as much as possible within the laws of the states and the cities that we're working in. And phase two will be recruiting staff, which will be starting fairly soon here. We're going to be looking for gospel-centered medical missionaries who are going to be wanting to work in the inner city. And at that point, then we will start acquiring our facilities, our mobile care units, which have about a 9-week turnaround time from when we order them to when we can actually have them on the ground and operating. And training staff and acquiring staff will have a much longer turnaround time for us. And so that's our general flow of where we're headed right now. And we're still in that first phase of making sure that we get everything organized to the point where we're doing everything well within the boundaries of the law. And then we're going to start be looking for the right people to put on the bus.
And at this point, I imagine that part and parcel of your focus will be on spreading the word about the Morning Center so that people begin to add it to their list of places that they want to give their tithes and offerings so that they can further what the Lord has called us to do. How long before you think you'll start looking at being able to report on, okay, this is built or we're operational? You're saying 15 months?
15 months at the outset before we have at least those first three mobile units up and running. We may be able to have one up and running as soon as the end of summer next year, which is certainly a goal to strive for, but realistically thinking it's going to be closer to the end of year before we're able to get those first units up and running. And from that point, we hope to continue to keep things at a high pace and be starting out in city number 4, 5, and 6 within the next 12 months, even as we continue to refine how we're working the system out in those first three cities. But we want to expand as fast as possible, as fast as funds permit, so that we can help as many women as possible in as many places as possible.
So what would a group of people do who say, you know, I think our city could use a morning center and they want to start working in that direction? Are you going to say, well, first help us get these initial ones started and then we'll work with you on how to get your city ready for something like this? Or are you going to encourage people to start donating for their particular area?
Either is fine. And certainly if they want our conscious efforts at this, they're going to have to wait until we get these first three up and running. But we are talking to cities already across the country for where we think we're going to be able to put, the next few cities. We would love to have donations for what we're working on now. But if a group wanted to start a sincere effort to have the funds ready as soon as we're ready to start that next city, that would be a great way for them to do it, or even to just take the idea and start to run with it at the local level. We don't believe that we are the end-all, be-all of how Christian charity should be provided, And the model that we're using, while we think it is an excellent model, is one that can be replicated by almost anyone. We think that having a national organization to do this will help bring us some economies of scale at things like the RVs and sonogram machines and such. But, you know, if someone has a passion to start now in their local community, there's lots of ways that they could work to do that. We certainly would love to have them give toward what the Morning Center is doing as well. You know, where their passion is where they need to put their funds, because where your treasure is needs to be consistent with where your heart is. And so,
right.
Yes, we need help from all around the country to get these first three units running. And yes, we want to spread this as far and wide as possible. And anything that we learn, we're glad to teach to someone else.
Is it your intent at some point to sort of franchise out the centers that do get started?
Well, we expect each individual city to have its own separate organization with a separate board of directors that operates locally. We think it's important that these ministries have a local flavor to it and a local control. And so right now we're actually appointing board members in those three cities. We'll be making a press release probably. It'll be another 2 or 3 months before we have the boards completely situated. Well, as we do, we'll have press releases out about who's sitting on those boards, but it's important to us that the local ministry is governed by a local board of directors. And so in that sense, yes, what we'll be doing, it will be franchising this idea out to local communities. But, you know, we're still trying to retain an amount of attachment to that because of the economies of scale that will come with having more organizations tied together.
Well, how would people find you to donate or to find out more? What would be the best way to find out more about the Morning Center?
Find us online at morningcenter.org, that's morningcenter.org, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/morningcenter, and at either site you'll find a easy-to-see link for how you can donate to the project or get more information, and you can if you follow us on Facebook, you can keep up to date on all that we're doing, or you can get on our email list through the website, and we'd be glad to keep you on our monthly email list so you can keep up with how things change and how they progress.
Well, you know, I have a lot of contact with homeschooling families. I homeschooled myself for over 28 years, and one of the things that's true about young people in homeschool settings especially is that they really want to serve and they really want to contribute. What would be the way in which young people who might want to become attached as staff or volunteers to the Morning Center, what would you recommend for them? What should they be doing right now to get ready to become a medical missionary?
Well, the first thing you need to do is you need to be grounded in a biblical worldview. If you're going to go out and be a missionary anywhere, the first foremost concern is being grounded in the scriptures so that you can stay focused on the mission. And one of the things that we talk about here at the Morning Center among our leadership team is that the mission is the gospel. The mechanism for our mission is providing first-class maternity care. And if we confuse the mechanism for the mission, we will start to lose focus. And we need to make sure that that's there. And so we're looking for people who are focused first and foremost at the same mission, at propagating the gospel, as preaching the gospel to every creature, discipling the nations for Christ. That's what we're looking for long-term. If you are interested in medical missions and you're grounded in a biblical worldview, there's a lot of places you can get a decent medical school. Right now, there are no distinctly Christian medical schools in the country that I'm aware of. And so in the absence of that, make sure you're grounded in your faith before you go to medical school, because many of them are very focused in Darwinian principles. There's a lot of evolution and wrongful thinking about medicine that goes on there. But if you come in with a strong biblical worldview, you can actually make that work. You know, for example, any medical instruction program, in my opinion, from a Christian perspective, needs to start with man is created in the image of God. If you don't start with the image of God and man as your primary focus in medicine, then everything else is going to be built on a faulty foundation. And up to this point, there aren't any distinctly Christian medical schools out there, though I have heard of a couple possibly starting in the next 10 years. I don't want to shoot anyone else's horn off until they're ready for it, but it would be really exciting to see more and more of those. We do have some Christian law schools in the country now, but Christian medical schools would be great. There's a lot of Christian schools where you can take up nursing. Though Cedarville University, I was just visiting there a few months ago for a bioethics conference. Very good nursing program there. There's many other Christian colleges in the country that have good sound nursing programs that would be much more founded on a biblical worldview. But if you're looking at medicine proper, you know, go and get your undergraduate degree in something that keeps you grounded and gets you the sciences you need. But then, you know, go to medical school with your eyes open and faster on your speed dial.
Faster on your speed dial. I like it. Will the Morning Center eventually be making use of midwives?
We hope to have a hybrid approach with midwives and obstetricians. We think that that can lead to a broader quality of care and, you know, a good working relationship between the two. In some areas, it will not be legal for midwives to deliver in hospitals. I couldn't name which states that's the case or not. And in some regions, it's just not in vogue, and hospitals don't offer privileges to midwives. But where possible, we do want to utilize midwives because we think it can be a helpful model for those births that are lower risk.
Right, absolutely. Now, this whole project is a sub-project, so to speak. It'll probably end up being its own separate project once it really gets rolling, of Samaritan Ministries International. And before I let you go, would you give a scriptural, biblical orientation to how Samaritan Ministries operates and why the Morning Center was a natural child of Samaritan Ministries International?
Well, sure. Samaritan Ministries is founded on the biblical principles that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens where those burdens can't be borne on their own. You look at Galatians 6, you look at the second half of the chapter, it says, you know, each one should bear his own load. You back up to verse 2, and it says, bear one another's burdens. And those two verses are not in contrast to one another. They're in that same context that I'm supposed to bear my own load wherever possible, supposed to accept personal responsibility for the needs of my household. But on the other side, when those needs get too great for me to bear, that's where the church steps in and we have a corporate responsibility for one another. But beyond that, our focus has always been on the Great Commission. And our focus on the Great Commission means discipling those in the nations for Christ and going out there and being a part of whatever else we can in the healthcare arena. And we've just recently gotten to the point in our, shall I use the word evolution as a ministry, to the point where we actually have our ducks in a row well enough on the healthcare sharing ministry that we're ready to start something else. And we've decided that stepping out into charitable maternity care is a great fit for us because we've always been focused on the life issue and we've always been focused on the necessity of the church reaching out to the nation around us. And this is an opportunity to use maternity care as a catalyst, as an opportunity, as a relationship time for building the gospel and then even discipling women if they're converted during the pregnancy and working alongside of the local church. And so we see this as a natural fit for us because we're concerned about the poor, we're concerned about getting the gospel out there, and we're concerned about healthcare in our nation. And so it seems to work very well with where our focus has been for the last 17 years.
And I do think that's why you have so many people who are so excited about this project. I hope that in, well, maybe a year or so that I'll get you on the line again and we'll talk about how it's operating and how things are going. But I thank you for your efforts and I thank you for the efforts and pass that along to all the other people there at Samaritan Ministries and the Morning Center because this is the next step, I believe, in the pro-life movement.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here with you.
Visit us on the web at www.notablepeople.org.